Yeah, he's there, KPFTX. So, Madam Chair Pro Tem, great. Yeah. Yes. So that is 8:46
Eastern.
EST. Madam Chair Pro Tem Minerva, would you, is it all right with you if I go ahead and call roll as the proposed
Secretary Pro
Secretary
Tem.
Pro Tem? Is that okay with you?
You're asking me, Minerva, right?
Yes. If I may go
Yes,
ahead and
please.
call the roll.
Yes,
Great.
please do so.
Okay. Irene Adams. Don't see her.
She'll be
Teresa.
on. She'll be on. Excuse me. She didn't know she was supposed to be in this meeting. She's coming on now. I'm sending her this link.
Great, great, great. Thank you, thank you. Teresa Allen.
Present. Present.
Okay. Kaja Brown.
Present.
Thank you. Jim Dingman.
Here.
Heather Gray.
Here.
Julie Hewitt. Don't hear. Avelia Jones has requested an excused absence. Zach Colvere has requested an excused absence. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Minerva Sanders. Minerva.
Present, present. Sorry.
Oops. That's okay. Egberto Willis, not here. Susan Young, here. Madam Chair Pro Tem, we have quorum.
Okay. The next order of business would be to approve the agenda for tonight.
I'm happy to read it, what was sent out, if that is helpful.
And that does help. Thank you.
Great. Number one, convene roll call. Two, approve agenda. Three, there aren't there. Elect pro tem chair and secretary for this meeting. Four, name working group to review WPFW terms issues. Five, next meetings. Six, executive session. Seven, adjourn. And when we get to executive session, I'll read the items that are in that.
Okay, for item number five, director's inspections request, is that what you have?
That's not on
That was.
the most recent version is the one that I just
Okay.
brought.
Okay, all right. This is Irene calling me. Can you assist and move forward, Susan?
Sure. Now go ahead. Is there any objection to the agenda as read? Hearing none, it's approved. Let me just make also a comment that Julie Hewitt's here. Okie dokie. And Irene is here. Julie, would you say a word? We can't hear you.
Hi, am I unmuted now?
Yes, now you're unmuted. Great.
It's
Thank you.
Julie. Okay, sorry.
Okay, great. And is Irene with us yet? She will be momentarily.
Right.
We
I
have.
have to text her the link. I'm sorry. I emailed it to her. I'm texting it to her.
Great. We have two sets of minutes that we can address at the next meeting. One is for the coordinating committee, which was April 16th, and one for the Strategic Planning Committee that was May 22. I apologize, we will get those to you. Next agenda item is elect pro tem chair and pro tem secretary for this meeting. I would like to nominate Minerva to be the pro tem chair for this meeting.
I'll second. Reese Allen.
Are there any others who wish to serve in that capacity? If there's no objection, and I think And if Minerva is okay to serve in that capacity, we'll proceed on that basis. I'll offer to be pro tem chair. Is there anyone else who wishes to serve in that capacity?
Or secretary.
Secretary.
Pro tem chair.
Thank you. Oops. Is there anybody who wishes to serve in that capacity? Hearing none.
No objection.
Great. And let me ask, I did not, I believe, recognize that Stephanie Wells is here. Stephanie, thank you for joining us. Would you say hello?
Hello, I am here.
Great. Okay. The next item on the agenda is there is an issue that has come up about the WPFW LSB roster. There are two kind of takes on what the roster should be for the 2021-2024 terms. And it's disputed at the local level. I have offered to name a working committee to be able to investigate that and report to the PNB so that the PNB can make a determination at our September 5th meeting. Is there any objection? Hearing none. The next item is next meetings. I suggest that the meeting dates, the times that are the best for this group are Thursdays. There's a lot of competition for Thursday real estate. One is, of course, the every other Thursday PNB meeting, and then also the governance committee meeting. So I suggest that we have our next meeting September 26th. Jim.
Can you explain what the problem is in Washington?
What problem?
The problem you raised about the composition of the
Sure. It's not clear what term an alternate filled. The term that was available that the alternate filled in December had a 21-24 term. But that isn't how the current WPFW LSB is viewing it. And so it merits its an investigation. What's at issue is whether essentially how many seats that there are 9 seats that are up to run this year, and whether there are 9 or 10 candidates running for those seats. There are a lot of different dimensions to this, but a full explanation will need to be made at the Ellis at the PNB.
Teresa for the stack.
Teresa?
So you are creating an investigative team. Are they going to report to the PNB next time it meets or what?
Yes. To report to the PNB you. September 5th. There was another time that KPFT had some dispute about how a term should be interpreted, and a report was made to the PNB, and the PNB made the decision about it. I think that's the situation here, in that there are disagreements with the WPFW LSB, and this will determine basically how the election gets conducted this year, where the vacancies are, whether they're in the 21-24 term or the 23-25 terms. And so it's necessary to make this determination in order for the current election to be accurate. It requires review of prior meeting minutes. So that's why there needs to be an investigation.
Okay. Please let me share with everyone. Irene's still trying to get in. She's having technical issues, but she will be joining the meeting.
Okay, so
Susan, where are we on the agenda?
We are, so there was, these were questions about what is the issue about WPFW terms. So we just explained that. Question is next meetings. My suggestion is that Thursdays work best for people on this group, and that the next Thursday available that does not conflict with either the PNB or the Governance Committee is September 26th. So I propose that
I'll second that.
Is there any objection? Okay, hearing none, then September 26th. The next is to go into executive session to hear confidential reports from the executive director. So is there a motion to go into executive session?
I move that we go into the executive session.
Hey, Irene, say hello, please. Welcome.
Hello, and good night. Good evening, everyone. I'm sorry. I was having technical difficulties, and I apologize for my tardiness. I'm here now.
We're delighted. Okay, so there's been a motion to go in. Teresa has moved to go into, and the time is 7:58. Is there any objection?
No, not with me.
Okay, hearing none, I'm going to call Otis. Would you be kind to take us off the stream? And we're basically going off the stream at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. I'll call Otis again.
Hi, everybody.
Is that Teresa again?
Yes, I'm sitting in the car outside a woman's house. Party for Melissa McDonough, who's running for United States Congress, and she's awesome.
Is anybody calling the cops on you as a lurker?
Nope. What? But it's hot.
I'm sorry, I've called Otis. Otis? I've called him, I've texted him.
Just to let you know my situation in DC, we have thunder and lightning and very little rain. I'm not sure if it's even raining, but in downtown DC, I have thunder and some lightning, and I'm okay with it. I've never feared it, but we're good. If I disappear all of a sudden, that means lightning did what he was going to do.
You're trying to compete with Houston,
right? Or any southern sky, but I'm not afraid of it. I'm right here. In the window, my sister went for cover in the basement. She from the real South, Mississippi, in the old school. That ain't me. I'm like, if it's gonna get me, it's gonna get me. But we good here, okay? But just to let you know, if it all of a sudden cuts off, y'all know what happened. It was the lightning, okay?
Maybe you're going to be taken up. You're going to be taken up into and head over to Oz. Here we have tornadoes. I'm sorry, I'm not getting through to Otis.
Irene, this is Heather. Where are you? I'm sorry. Where are you?
I'm in Washington, D.C.
Oh, you're in Washington. Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. We're not really on a close lightning and thunder this situation, but we are in a swamp. So, yeah, the mosquitoes have now come out in droves because they're like, it's good feeding time, but we all right.
Hey, Susan, it's Julie. Is this your chat? I mean, your Zoom?
No.
Is it Darlene's? Or who's the host?
Otis.
Oh, that's a problem because, we could just put KPFTX in the waiting room, but only the host can do that. So if Otis is the host.
Thanks for offering to help us deal with this. I've texted him. I've called him 3 times. So I've left messages.
Yeah, Susan, this is Heather. I've tried to call him too. No luck.
Okay. Let me make this suggestion. There is, Stephanie may be able to give us a report, open session, ready report about the archives that, so how it's going with the Library of Congress and, what will be posted on the, on the website. Stephanie, would you be able to give us that background?
Sure. Yeah, everything is moving forward with the Archive Legacy Project, which is the digitization of the archives. And as I kind of reported quite a few months ago, the archives I'm looking at it as kind of dividing it in 2 separate groups, which is the regular Pacifica Radio Archives, which is still continuing to move forward as it has in the past. It's being absorbed right now by the National Office. And so we are just catching up on certain contracts or agreements that might have been overlooked or forgotten over the past few months. So we've just signed a couple of new licensing agreements for some documentaries that had reached out to us in the last couple of weeks looking for materials from our archives. And so we've been able to negotiate those and provide the materials that they need. With the archive digitization project, I just met on Tuesday with individuals from the Library of Congress discussing, the placement of the materials once they've been digitized. So once we send them off to be digitized and cataloged and put on a website for us to continue with licensing and, you know, for people to get access to them because we, you know, will maintain all intellectual property with everything and manage all licensing agreements. The raw materials will then be returned to us. So we've been working with the Library of Congress and various universities, not only in California, but also across the country, figuring out the best way to categorize the final materials for storage. As we all know, there's about 80,000 pieces of materials, and there isn't really one set location that can house everything. And that's not that we're also digitizing and looking through and storing all of the paper materials as well, old booklets, pamphlets, photos, anything that we have. So we're working with them to try to determine the best way to store these permanently so we can maintain them in a safe environment. And in case there's something that, you know, maybe there's something that's a tape that we have that's a little run down and maybe not everything can be pulled from it right now, but you know, there may be some processes in the future that we will be able to do that. So we obviously don't want to get rid of any of the main materials. So we're again talking to various universities and we may be dividing up the collection by era. So if we have a lot of things that is politically based, then we will keep that as a chunk together and store that somewhere that has an interest in political base or would be more likely for them to store the materials for us permanently. We have collections that are LGBTQA communities, and so we may store those together and put those in an environment. So those are what we're working on now, is just negotiating with a lot of different universities, libraries, to determining the best place to pull that forward. We should have the first 20,000 pieces will be our first in line to be digitized. We're not sending those out all at once, so it doesn't become too overwhelming for the company that is doing the digitization process. But we should be sending them out in clumps of anywhere between 5,000 to 10,000. This will vary according to how much the AAPB wants to be able to manage at one time. So that's moving forward splendidly. I think that's pretty much all with the digitization process. And then we are working with the Mellon Foundation to continue with funding to focus now on the secondary set of 20,000 until we get through all 80,000 pieces of material. We will be putting out a basic statement on the archive website. The website needs to be maintained a little bit. There were some issues with the back end of it, and so it hadn't been working properly for the last few months to a year. So we are working with individuals to kind of get into the back end of that website to get it back up and running. And then we will have a statement that is up on the website, kind of directing people as where they can go for any sort of licensing and what we're doing with the digitization process.
You have hands up.
Madam Chair, you've got your hand up.
Yes, I do.
And Irene doesn't, Jean does too.
Let's see. I see. I have my hand up. I'll let the others go first. Darlene, Irene, and then Jim. So Darlene, why don't you go? I'll wait.
All right. Thank you. Stephanie, could you explain and then differentiate what the legacy project is at the archives separate from the other ongoing work? I'm getting lost in the
legacy is, of course, the legacy is just kind of a name that I gave it because we're continuing on with the legacy of the archives. So the legacy project is the entire digitization process and project that we have in partnership with the American Archive of Public Broadcasting, WGBH Educational Foundation, and the Library of Congress. So they've received a substantial grant from the Mellon Foundation, the AAPB, to digitize lost collections across the country. And we were on that top of the list to start that digitization process because we have items that have not been heard in decades. You know, we have some things dating back to about 1948, 1949, 1950 that have just been in storage for quite a long time. So that process, that project, we're just calling it the Legacy Project, which is the digitization, cataloging, and making available all of our materials. And again, we maintain the intellectual property to everything. They will be able to be used for historical and educational purposes, but anything that's with any sort of licensing and even with educational and historical, if people need them for historical reference and educational reference, it all will need to go through the Pacifica Foundation in order to grant that approval. And then also with any sort of licensing agreements, we will get the funding from that and deal with all that licensing.
Okay. Any other questions, Darlene? Okay, Irene, please.
I just want to clarify that these are general questions to the ED on situations that we need to rate that from our LSB.
No.
This is just in regards to
the archive.
Okay. I have
that's
no
what
question.
The scope of this committee is. And those questions would be appropriate for the PNB meeting.
Lowering my hand.
Okay. Thank you, Irene. Jim?
You have to excuse me. I'm sitting in front of Butler Library at the freshman room having a big party. So what's the turnaround rate for these digitization tapes that are being sent? And also, you're saying they're going out in batches of 5,000. Is there a prioritizing going on in sending out the tapes to be digitized? That is, with thought to then, once they're digitized, turn them into product that we can market? I'm just curious what your thinking is, or what people's thinking is about.
We're prioritizing the materials that have been, that are at the Los Angeles building right now. Probably a little less than half of those materials have been cataloged. Some of them have been digitized. Some of them haven't. So right now we're in the process of trying to separate and try to get a list of the things that have been digitized and things that haven't. So we're focusing right now just on everything that was in the Los Angeles building. There's large, they look like gigantic records. I'm sure, Jim, you know the name of them, but they're like huge, huge discs. Those have been in the facility in Los Angeles for quite some time. So because of the fragility of those we're shipping out first, just because we want to make sure the air conditioning hasn't been all that great in the Los Angeles building. So we're taking extra care, and the AAPB is working with us on packaging, and they're supplying all the packaging materials and paying for all the shipping. So we're spending extra care getting those out first, just because they are fragile and we don't want to have to move them into storage or move them more than we have to. Other than that, we are just looking at what we can find and the titles of it that are in that building in LA and sending those out. We're keeping track, of course, of the titles and things that we need. And we're also looking ahead of trying to find potential. There are some potential documentaries that are happening down the road where they have reached out to the national office wanting certain information. And so we are trying to pull that information now from the archives to make sure that we don't send that off to be digitized if we know that somebody's going to be using it for a possible documentary down the road. So that's kind of, what we're doing at this point. The turnaround time based upon the condition of the materials that we send them can be anywhere from 2 to 6 months.
All right, so I'm glad you're getting the records out, because that must be the earlier stuff that was recorded after the war.
Correct.
So that would be probably material that was done in the late 40s, early 50s, and that would be very interesting to hear what that is. Okay, yeah, it just sounds like a big mess you're trying to unravel there.
Yeah, a lot of those boxes are in the storage facility. So when I went to the storage facility, I was like climbing up boxes and looking over stuff. And it was just interesting to see some of them were marked. Some of them had paper on them. And it was just like, wow, there's a gold mine in a lot of those storage facilities. So we're very anxious to be able to get in there and start peeling everything away and seeing what we actually have. And the educational world, the scholarly world, they're all very excited just in getting the little bits and pieces as we reach out to them, that all of this gold mine of information is going to be available for people to be able to listen to, and we'll be able to share that.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Okay. Jim, Heather?
Sorry. Yes. Thank you so much. So Stephanie, thanks for sharing all of this. Over the years, I've talked with some of the folks who have been working on the archival materials. It's just been fascinating. I was wondering, maybe you've already made reference to this, but do you have some ideas on some interviews we could do about some of this archival material? I guess we need to get some of it in our hands first, but maybe you were inferring some of that in what you just said, but I think it'd be great if we could do some interviews about this. So what are your ideas along that line?
Interviews meaning what we're doing moving forward with this and getting it available to the public?
But about the material itself, I don't know.
Once we get a better grasp of what's there, and as we're doing the cataloging and as the digitization is happening, an automatic transcription of what's on there happens as well. So all of that now happens simultaneously. So once we get that digitization and the transcriptions, then we'll be able to catalog it as to here's bits and pieces that are talking about this, talking about that, you know, then we'll have a better grasp of everything. But I'm sure that we will have, you know, I want to see a national program that's just highlighting a lot of the materials that we have. So hopefully we'll get to a point where we'll be able to pull that very easily.
Oh, excellent. And I want to thank you so much for all your great work on this too. Thank you.
It's been fun.
I'm sure.
Thank you.
A lot of fantastic material. Anyway.
Right. Jim, can I ask you to lower your hand?
No, I actually have another question.
Okay, well, let me go ahead and ask what I would like to ask, and then we'll come back to you. And again, when you finish, please lower your hand. Stephanie, when you talk about this project that's going on, I hear you talking about having this information available to different group intellectuals and others who might have need to access it. Are they doing this and there is a fee for it, or how is that handled? And again, I don't know how this is done, but are they, you know, is there a fee for them gaining access or not?
For educational scholarly purposes, there isn't a fee. It's like a reading room. If they need to use it for some purpose, then there will be a fee. And that's where we have the licensing, or you can use, you know, 30 seconds or 10 seconds or 15 seconds. That's where we get legal into play, where they start working with us as well as the AAPB. So we follow the general standards of how people deal and work with curated archival materials. But everything will be hosted on a website that will link back to us with far as any sort of licensing, but we won't have to pay for the management and the upkeep of all of this data on a website. The AAPB will do that, and the Library of Congress will have a backup. So we don't have to worry about the fees of managing, because that's kind of where we were running into some problems with the website that we have now. But it is very much like if you go to I'm only likening it to, I know at UCLA has a reading room that you can go to and, you know, put on your gloves and read certain books or look at certain books, and you can't take them out, but you can transcribe them or take a picture of it. So that's pretty much what this will be as well. So we want to curate the archive materials, which has such historic significance, and make that historical information available, as I said, to scholars and historians. But any sort of use of that will be licensed, and it will come back to Pacifica.
Okay. Thank you. And Jim?
Yes, I'm looking at the website of the American Historical Association. And I would suggest, for marketing purposes, that they have, by the way, Brian Deshay has gone into, at some point, I've seen him at the AHA in the past. But they're going to have a meeting in New York in January of next year. And that would be a appropriate place to advertise what's going on. And they're meeting at the Hilton in New York City from January 3rd to January 6th next year. But that is the place, because they actually have, in the AHA, they have a whole section there devoted to radio history. But I would suggest that if you're going to market it, let the historical community know about it, the AHA is the place to do that process.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Susan, I see your hand.
Yes. I would just like to say, to the many people who've served on this board for a long time, like Jim and Heather and, you know, Julie and so forth, Teresa, that accomplishing this protection of the archive, digitization, having it be not only safe, but accessible, is one of the most important things that has happened with this foundation. And I want to thank Stephanie for making it happen. Yes. It's dang hard. It's really hard. And for the ideas that, you know, Heather and Jim have, about how to leverage this extraordinary asset and legacy. You know, to me, this is among the most important things that we can be doing as a board at this time. Yes. So thank you, Stephanie. Thank you for everybody who's made this happen. And thank you all the board members who served for a long time and have worked to protect this legacy.
And let me be crass and say how fabulous this is as a potential revenue generator and, useful information and such to pursue grants of any kind, but to keep referencing back and also to sort of spread, like Jim's saying, to an academic community, Pacifica Radio. Never hurts to be better known.